So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
Dan Zangrilli says Pirates fans are the most unlucky in all of professional sports. Do you agree? 412-928-9370. We got a lot of great texts and tweets and calls on this. I want you to chime in. I think maybe Browns fans have it worse. That might be my most unlucky fan base in sports. I stated my case for West Virginia Mountaineer fans earlier. I think if you go collegiate sports, they're right up there. You can make a lot of arguments for different schools. I think West Virginia fans have been tortured. I just so happen to be a West Virginia fan and a Pirates fan. That's a special level of ineptitude and suck and hurt and pain. But Browns fans, they got it hard, man. Their franchise leaves them. Then when it comes back, they're so excited, jacked up. That's a very loyal fan base. And they've been rewarded with suck since they've come back into the league. I think we did the math on this a couple of weeks ago. I can't remember why. But they've averaged like 5.3 wins per year since they've come back into the NFL. Oh my God. Not to mention, your owner sold his soul and the soul of the franchise to get Deshaun Watson, who in his time in Cleveland has played 19 games, been one of the absolute worst quarterbacks in the sport, so bad that Browns fans were happy when the guy tore his Achilles and then in his recovery process tore it again. Browns fans finally get excited about Baker Mayfield, finally get excited about a quarterback. The guy bangs up his shoulder at the end of his final season, doesn't play great because he plays through injury, where you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. If you don't play through injury, you're the wuss. If you play through the injury, no one cares, you're on the field, play better. And they kick him to the curb because he wasn't mature enough, and they replace the guy who was immature with a guy that was accused of heinous things. I think they got it worse. And even when they were good, you think about the drive and Elway and some of the times they fell short. Pirates fans definitely deserve to be on the podium of unlucky. But I think the gold medal probably goes to the Browns. 412-928-9370. You can chime in on this. Texter, at least the Browns are trying to win. Yeah, but I think, and that's a fair point, I think you're conflating things here, though. Like, the franchise isn't unlucky. You get what you pay for, right? But we as fans, there's nothing we can do. Like, I think about Cleveland and the Haslams, and you're stuck with them, right? You think about Washington football fans for all those years being stuck with Dan Snyder. He got what he deserved, but the fans just got stuck with an inept owner, which makes the fan base, far as I see it, unlucky. 412-928-9370. Texter, Browns won the last playoff game in Heinz Field history. Yeah, that's true. That did happen, yeah. Texter, send me your birthday, Crowley. I'll do the math. I am 34. I will turn 35 in October. We figured that out. It's early. I had a couple of beers last night at Hofbräu House for the keg tapping. It was a work event, so I was allowed. And I'm not sharp as I usually am today. 412-928-9370. Let's go to David in the car. Hi, David.
Hey, listen, I'm actually on my way to Cleveland on some business.
And I'm sorry.
I know. but they only have to suffer through it 16 games a year, or 17. We're going to do it for 162.
That's good. So, you know, in baseball, tie goes to the runner. Maybe the tie here goes to the sport that plays more games. That's a good point there, David.
It's inevitable this team is not going to be good with this ownership. And until that changes and Major League Baseball changes it, we're going to be scorned forever. Trust me.
I think it's fair. I think it's fair that you say that, David, and that you have a negative outlook. I mean, it's hard not to, but they have won with this ownership group, and so I'm going to hold out some hope that it could happen again before I turn 68 or 69. Math. 412-928-9370. The Bills are the most tortured fan base in all of sports. It's not even close. Someone text in. If the Pirates went to four consecutive World Series and lost, to me, that'd be a lot better than what we've experienced. Like, people used to say that the Cubs were the most tortured fan base in baseball because they hadn't won since, what, 1908? And the curse of the Billy Goat, and then it was the Red Sox 1918 and Bucky Dent and Bill Buckner and all that. And with the Cubs, you had Bartman and the 2003 NLCS. Yeah, that's all bad luck. That's the curse. That stinks. I would rather have been a Cubs fan pre-2015 than a Pirates fan pre-2015, because at least you had Sosa chasing the home run record. At least you had 2003 and Carlos Zambrano and some of those fun teams, and you had Kerry Wood. And I know that there's bad luck there with him and Pryor and the injuries, and we've talked to our friend Matt Clement about that plenty of times, but I think it's easier to be a fan of a team that falls short than a team that really never even comes close. I'm sure Starkey could argue that, yeah, it's the Bills, because you get your heart ripped out year after year after year after year. But as Pirates fans, we've been beat down for three generations. Oh, my God. I think it's harder to be a Browns fan than a Bills fan. Like, the Bills got Josh Allen. The Bills had Jim Kelly. Those Bills teams were great. And yeah, you never got the Lombardi. And there is a level of torture there that I'm sure we never understand. But for 30 years, you've had three winning seasons? We got it worse. 412-928-9370. John Heyman, national baseball writer, he put out a tweet yesterday that I think makes most Pirates fans feel good for a second. He wrote, Pirate source, Paul Skenes is not getting traded. Quote, no chance, no way, no how, end quote, is the way I heard it. While there's a bit of logic to such a scenario, superstars just aren't traded by anyone with 1 year service time, and the Pirates remain determined to build around Skenes. Is the last part opinion from John Heyman? The Pirates remain determined to build around Paul Skenes. They have yet to be determined to build around Paul Skenes. I am elated that they're not going to trade Paul. That would be a crime against fandom if they traded Paul Skenes at this year's deadline. It would be a crime against the fans if they traded him in the offseason. It'd be a crime if they traded him next year or in the subsequent offseason. But that's got to be opinion, and a bad one from John Heyman. They remain determined to build around Paul Skenes. They have not built around Paul Skenes. They got a great pitching staff. The starters have been dominant for the Pirates. This rotation is playoff worthy. The lineup can set a major league record tonight for most consecutive games scoring fewer than 5 runs. That's not building around Paul Skenes. That's failure. Tommy Pham, Adam Frazier, the best bat you add this offseason is Spencer Horwitz, whom I think is a nice player. We talked to John Wehner about him yesterday. He is a good hitter. He lacks some power, perhaps at PNC Park with the short porch and right, that helps. But like, that's not building around Paul Skenes. I am happy that they're not going to trade him, at least according to John Heyman. 412-928-9370. Texter, is Bostic coming on today? Yeah, he'll be on at 8 o'clock. Do you think the Pirates can win a playoff series will win a playoff series with Paul Skeens. How close are they right now? It might sound laughable. We'll get into that coming up next. You can also keep your texts, calls, and tweets coming as it relates to the most unlucky fan bases in all of sports.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
Here's the pitch. Swinging a liner over Hayes toward the left field corner. Base hit. Pham races to cut it off from the wall. He will on the track. Touching third. Steer heading home. The relay from Kiner Falefa. The tag. He's out. Davis gets the tag down. And Steer is wrangled at the plate to keep the Pirates in the lead. Good play all around. Pham to Kiner Falefa to Davis. And the Pirates take a 2-1 lead as we go to the bottom of the sixth.
And they won the game. And what a play by Henry Davis. I mean, a nice play all around. I don't want to say too many nice things about Tommy Pham. But he gets to the ball. He gets it to IKF. IKF kind of has a candy arm, but he gets off a strong throw. And then Henry Davis with the old Jason Kendall looks like there's not going to be a play at the plate. And then last second, bam, catches the ball, makes the tag. It was one of the best plays of the Pirates season. And arguably, I mean, is it even arguably? It was the best game of Henry Davis's career. And I like Henry Davis. I met him when I threw out the first pitch of the Pirate game. He's a very nice man. He works his tail off, and that's only worth so much, right? That's what Mike Tomlin used to say about Kenny Pickett all the time. He works his butt off. He works his rear end off. It's what Derek Shelton had been saying about this team when he was the manager. We're working hard every day to try to fix the problems. Your effort can only mean so much. You have to be good, and you have to produce. But Henry Davis goes 2-for-2 yesterday, drives in a run, throws a guy out, makes the tag. And I couldn't help but for a second feel good for the young man. John Heyman reported yesterday that the Pirates will not trade Paul Skeens. That is good news. I want him to continue pitching in a Pirates uniform. That's not a hot take. I really root for the guy. He's a joy to watch. He's only going to be ours for a short amount of time. We don't need to make that shorter. But the question is this. Do you think the Pirates will win a playoff series? Something they haven't done since 1979. With Paul Skeens. 412-928-9370. You can make an argument that they're closer than their record would indicate. And that's not me answering yes to the first question, by the way. I think it's like -1,000 that they would win a playoff series with this guy. You're not going to give them any benefit of the doubt. But that's why I've asked two separate questions. No, I do not think they're going to win a playoff series with Paul Skeens. But I do think the right general manager could get it done. Ben Cherington is not the right general manager for reasons that we've discussed ad nauseum on this show and has been discussed in column inches around the city and by other hosts on this station. I don't need to tell you why Ben Cherington ain't the right man for the job. But he did, as Joe Starkey has so eloquently said time and time again, get half the job done. This starting rotation's really damn good, guys. I did the math yesterday, so there's always margin of error there whenever it comes to me in math. But I did the math yesterday. You take the top four guys in this Pirates rotation, Skeens, Falter, Keller, and Heaney, and you compare their cumulative ERA to that of the 2013 Pirates, this front four's ERA is lower than that. That was bad English, but bear with me. This starting rotation is playoff caliber. If this team were average at hitting the baseball, they could be a playoff team. Now, they are so far and away below average at hitting the baseball that they are 17 games under 500. Nope, excuse me. They've won two in a row. They are 16 games under 500. I mean, this is a historically bad Pittsburgh Pirates offense. That's not hot takery. That's a fact. They can set a major league record tonight against the Brewers. If they fail to score five runs, they'll have gone 27 consecutive games scoring fewer than five runs. That would be a major league record. 1971, the last time that a team has gone 26 games with that distinction. 1939, the last time before that. Oh, my God. So this is a historically bad lineup. This team does not produce runs. That's why they're 16 games under 500. But I think I'm right when I say if they were an average hitting team, average, not good, average. I mean, even if they were 20th in Major League Baseball at scoring runs, I think you'd be in the thick of it. I think you'd be right around where Cincinnati is. Three games out, four games out, right in that ballpark. And so the next GM, if there is a next GM next year, who comes in and you hit on a couple of key pieces, I think you can be competitive. Yeah, they're not going to spend a lot of money. But I made this argument earlier on, not today, but a recent show. Like this offseason, what they spend, $15 million if you include Andrew McCutchen. Two off seasons ago, they spent $35 million. If you hire a new GM, give that guy $35 million to spend this offseason to add just adequate hitters. That's it, adequate hitters. I do think you could contend next year. The hard part's done. The rotation is good. And Bubba Chandler ain't even here yet. And you don't have Jared Jones or Johan Oviedo. And we're going to see Mike Burrows here. Like, they've got the rotation. Can the next GM come in here and make them an adequate hitting baseball team? If so, then you can answer my first question, which is, can the Pirates win a playoff series with Paul Skeens? You can answer that question with a yes. I don't think they're as far away as the record would indicate, if they get a competent general manager. Quest in Pittsburgh wants to chat. Hey, Quest.
First things first, what makes the Pirates different? If you have an 18 or 19-year-old player that's good enough to play in the majors, the Braves bring up players like that. The Blue Jays brought up Vlad. It seems like the Pirates have to wait until the guy's 24 or 25 years old.
What are you suggesting, that they bring up Connor Griffin?
I'm going to tell you, you have to bring the other organizations bring up their best players. Is Connor Griffin's time now? No. Is could it be next year? Yes, I believe that.
I mean, I agree. I agree with you, Quest, that I would fast track that guy if, like, I wouldn't mind seeing him at Double A at the end of this season, but he ain't ready now. And Tamar Johnson, I mean, he hasn't quite lived up to expectations. He was a big-time prospect, and now I think he's 88th in all of Major League Baseball. Sorry, I had to cut you off there because there was some feedback. Like, there are a lot of reasons to criticize the Pirates. I don't think Connor Griffin being an A-ball or Tamar Johnson not being up here are reasons to criticize him. Just want to be fair here. 412-928-9370. Texter, Crowley, thanks for not pushing Skeens out of town. The rest of them are driving me nuts. Look, if we win 60% of the remaining games, we end up around 85 wins. Listen, this season's over. They're not contending for anything. They're not going to finish 500. They're not going to, my God, make the playoffs. I'm watching to see who deserves to stick around here to build around Paul Skeens. So I appreciate the optimism. But no, I'm not going to push Paul Skeens out of town. We talked about it last week when some of the national talking heads brought up the idea of trading Paul Skeens to facilitate a rebuild. And look, I can see the point in there being a discussion. The Pirates' record is very bad. He is in year two. You could get a king's ransom for him. Outside observers look at the Pirates and think they're nowhere near contention. So, like, I get to a certain extent, the discourse. But I love the Pirates. People who are listening to the show right now love the Pirates. You don't want to. You can't help yourself because you're like me. I can't help myself. I love this team. I love this sport. And he's the best thing we got going. I ain't trying to shove it out the door, man. And I was critical of Paul earlier in the season. It wasn't a very popular opinion when I said he hadn't been as good as last year. But never misconstrue that for me not thinking he's God's gift to Pirate fans. That's of course what he is. He's got a 2.44 ERA. It might have been his best ever pitching performance his last time out. He's pitched two gems this year. That one against the Phils and then the one against the Dodgers earlier in the season. I don't want to see that guy go. Like, we finally get a nice thing and the national media wants to push him out of town. I ain't going to be pushing him out of town. Not when your rotation's this good. Get a competent GM in here. Spend at least $35 million this offseason. And you can bargain basement shop and still get good hitters in here. You can. We see it with the Reds. I know the Pirates just took two out of three from them, but they got Austin Hayes, who is so much better than Tommy Pham. And he's hitting like 330. Same exact contract. You got Lux, who has an OPS around 800, making $3.25 million, just a couple mil more than Adam Frazier. Like, you can go bargain basement Goodwill shopping and still get decent players in here. And I think if you filled the lineup with average guys next season around Brian Reynolds, who hopefully gets his act together, and O'Neill Cruz, and maybe Spencer Horowitz is something, then, yeah, you could have an average offense. And with this pitching staff, I think you'd have a shot. Yeah, I'm trying to build around schemes. I ain't trying to trade schemes. 412-928-9370. Texter writes in, Crawley, Bryce Harper was 19 in Major League Baseball. Yeah, he was a different level of prospect than Connor Griffin. He went 1-1, and everyone thought he was Jesus. Now, Connor Griffin's a really good prospect. I'm super excited about him. I think he can be a superstar. He's not viewed the same way as Bryce Harper. He's doing a great job right now in A-ball. I have high hopes for the man, but like, come on. Let's keep in your pants a little bit for Connor Griffin. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Well, well, well. How the turntables. Michael Scott, The Office. Albert Breer has validated my report about the Steelers checking in on Chris Olave. I might have another Steelers wide receiver nugget when we come back, and you can give us your calls on that or Paul Skeens.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
Do you yell at the radio when you're listening to us because you think you could do better? Well, you have an opportunity for you to try to prove it. You can come out to Upper St. Clair Volunteer Fire Department on Thursday, June 5th from 7 p.m. until 9 p.m. to take part in our Next Up on the Fan talent search. We're going to multiple locations this summer to try and find the next top host in Pittsburgh. We'll pick two winners from each location, and we'll go on to a final winner. And that final winner will be the newest part-time talent added to our roster. For more information, including dates and locations, visit 937thefan.com. I'm super excited about this. That's going to take place at the Fan 5 Alarm Marathon, which is presented by Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union. It'll take place June 5th and 6th at Upper St. Clair Volunteer Fire Department. You can donate now at 937thefan.com to help support local volunteer fire departments in our area. Brought to you by Cintas, True Green, Don's Appliances, and Hampton Beer Outlet. I think that's going to be great fun. I don't know quite how it's going to go down. Like, are you going to debate us, or are you going to debate each other? I think there's a judging element that's part of that whole thing. I'm not 100% sure how it's going to work, but I'm super excited. And there are people out there who could do this job. There's no question about that. Like, Molsey got this job because he won the contest at the old station, at an old station. Molsey absolutely talented enough to be doing this. He's been doing it here for 15 years. It's tough to crack into this industry. It is. You know, I got a big break to get into this industry. And then you got to bust your ass once you get in, and you got to be good enough. This is your opportunity. So looking forward to seeing a bunch of you on June 5th from 7 o'clock until 9. All right, Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated says the Steelers checked in on Chris Olave. Now, when I reported that on Friday and it got sent out into the ether, Steelers fans told me I was a dumbass and full of crap and making stuff up. And well, I was not. Albert Breer confirmed it. A couple of other Steelers beat writers confirmed it. The Steelers are still going big game hunting for a wide receiver. Now, I was texted the other day that they might be interested in Jordan Addison from the Minnesota Vikings. And you might wonder to yourself, as I did when I got the text, why would they be interested in him? Why would the Minnesota Vikings be making him available? He, of course, won the Biletnikoff at Pitt. He's done great things in the NFL. He is paired with one of the best, if not the best, wide receivers in the sport. Why would they want to get rid of Jordan Addison? Well, he's had a couple of DUIs. He could be suspended the first three games of this season. So you might be saying, as Steelers fans, oh, God, why would they be interested in that guy? Why would they be interested in moving him, though, apart from that? He's been very good for them. Well, they drafted Ty Felton in the third round for a team that already had good wide receiver depth. One of their coaches just said that Jalen Naylor, who had 400-ish yards last year for them, is one of the best-kept secrets in the NFL. So you got a lot of mouths to feed. You got Justin Jefferson. You got Jordan Addison. You got Ty Felton. I mean, you're not drafting a third-round pick not to play unless you're the Steelers and it's Roman Wilson. And they really like Jalen Naylor. You can't feed all those mouths. Now, counter-argument would be you got a rookie quarterback, basically, in J.J. McCarthy. You want to surround him with as much talent as humanly possible to help him develop. I mean, that's a great roster that they only added to this offseason. So I didn't tweet this out. I just wanted to save it for you, the listening audience. I was texted, yeah, they might be interested in Jordan Addison. I've reached out to a couple of other sources and haven't got anything back on that. But if I hear stuff from credible people, I'm always going to pass it along to you because that's part of my job. I don't consider myself a reporter, but when things find me, I let you know. I have not been able to confirm beyond that source that that's true, but food for thought. I would take him in a second. Yeah, he'd get suspended for three games. Maybe you pay pennies on the dollar for something like that. 412-928-9370. Pat Bostic going to be joining us today at 8. So he'll be with us from 8 o'clock until 9 today. He couldn't do 7 until 10. I think it's because he likes me a lot less than Dorn. Would you be interested in Jordan Addison? Or do you still feel spurned as Pitt fans that he took his talents to Southern California? I'd pretty much take anybody right now as an upgrade over Calvin Austin and Robert Woods. And I am at least encouraged to hear that the Steelers are poking around on all these wide receivers. Now, that's what happened last season with Ayuk. They thought they got a deal done. You know, Pony put out there it was 99.9%. I think Pony put that out there because they thought that they were going to get him. The same way they think they're going to get Aaron Rodgers. And who knows if that's going to come to fruition. They seem to think it will. They seem to think Brandon Ayuk was going to be the next great Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver. Didn't happen. They are at least checking around right now on wide receivers. That much we know. Does it mean they get one? Who knows? I think they probably will, because if they can't make something work in a trade, then they can always throw $15 million or something like that at Amari Cooper or Keenan Allen. 412-928-9370. That's the phone number. I would like to thank Albert Breer for making people realize that I have sources. Thank you, Albert Breer. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Got a couple of clues about Aaron Rodgers just yesterday.
Figured it out during the last year when I've, you know, been in the weeds with these people who are close to me that have cancer, is that innovation is frowned upon and alternative ways of dealing with cancer.
So there's Aaron Rodgers. He was on the Joe Rogan podcast, and we are now, you know, following Aaron Rodgers' every move. He was at some like festival the other day shooting a super soaker. Rodgers has talked about personal issues being part of the reason, if not the whole reason, why he hasn't made a decision about his football playing future. And there he talks about people dealing with cancer. When he was on with McAfee, he talked about people within his inner circle dealing with things. So that could be it. And if that's the case, I mean, can you really blame the guy for not having his mind made up as to whether or not he's going to play football? I mean, if that's the reason, seems like a pretty good reason to me. Now, you might not want him because you think he's old and washed up, and we'll get to that in the 9 o'clock hour because Ben Roethlisberger has thoughts on this. But if he really is spending time with people he cares about, dealing with personal tragedy, can you really blame the guy for not having made a decision yet? 412-928-9370. Think you'd have to be a pretty big jerk off to be upset with him if that's the real reason. Is it? I don't know. I don't know if you can take anything that this guy says at face value. I'm not sure. But if that's the reason, then no, of course I don't blame him. 50-minute mark on the Fans brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Matt LaFleur, Rodgers' old coach with the Green Bay Packers, he was on with Kay Adams, and he said the Steelers have not reached out. Mike Tomlin hasn't reached out. Arthur Smith hasn't reached out to ask him, to talk to him about Aaron Rodgers, which I think is dereliction of duty. I think you want to get as much information as you can on Aaron Rodgers before he becomes the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He did say at the end of the clip that he thinks that Rodgers will be a Pittsburgh Steeler. So take that for what it's worth. And I always thought that LaFleur and Rodgers had a bad relationship until I watched Rodgers' documentary. And again, I take everything in that documentary with a grain of salt, but LaFleur did not have to be a part of it, and he was. And he had nothing but great things to say about Rodgers. Like, he could easily have declined the opportunity to go on that. And then there would have been questions abound. Like, he didn't have to go on it, though. And that he did, in talk about a good relationship he had with Rodgers, leads me to believe, hey, he might know something here. So Rodgers gives us a little nugget of what's going on in his personal life, and then his former coach said that he ultimately thinks Rodgers will be the starting quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. When's it going to happen? It's anybody's guess. I got sources on wide receivers. I got no sources on dang Aaron Rodgers. But you'd hope it would happen soon. And I do think it's valuable for him to be at OTAs and minicamp. Like, I know that Caboli's come on with us and talked about how Troy Polamalu was never at the voluntary stuff, that Ben sometimes wouldn't be at the voluntary stuff, that vets hadn't been at the voluntary stuff. I think it's totally different with a quarterback who has not run the offense, who is dealing with a new set of skill position guys. I think if you want to hit the ground running, you can't just have mini camp and OTAs. You can't just have mini camp and training camp. You can't just have training camp. I think every ounce of time that you can spend with a new team, when you're learning a new offense, when you're working with new players, is incredibly valuable. I want him to see him here as soon as possible. I don't think there's an analogy to be drawn there with Troy Polamalu, who knew the Steelers' defensive playbook, was doing a lot of stuff on his own volition anyhow, was going to be fine regardless of whether or not he was at OTAs. Like, Ben, hey, look, it's all voluntary. You don't want to kill guys for not showing up to voluntary stuff, but like, Ben, like, you're quarterback. Be there for every practice, and especially a new quarterback. And I've put up with this Rodgers thing more than a lot of people, and I happen to think there'll be a winning football team with Rodgers and a losing football team without him. I will be annoyed by the situation if he's not here for minicamp, for OTAs. And look, I get it. Cancer thing, like, it's a big deal. But if you're going to make the decision, and there is a decision to be made here, there needs to be a deadline. And for me, it would be get here for OTAs. Pat Bostick going to join us next. He's our quarterback whisperer. We're going to talk about the tush push. It was not banned. which I'm happy about because the Packers were babies for trying to get it banned. The Steelers look lame for voting to ban it, and that's exactly what Art Rooney II did. We've got some numbers on how the Steelers fared on fourth down last year. Like, you look at the Eagles, right? And they are innovative, super successful. Like, you can argue, they don't win the Super Bowl if they don't tush-push, right? Then you've got the Steelers all the way at the other end of the spectrum. Just how bad were the Steelers on fourth downs last year? What could they do to keep up with the Joneses? How difficult is a dang-on quarterback sneak? We'll talk to Bostic about that to start things off with him coming up next. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. High today of 54. Looks like it's going to rain all day until about 7 o'clock. So hopefully all should be cleared up for baseball. It's going to feel like October for the baseball tonight. Except the Pirates are going to be playing, so that'll be the dead giveaway.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.